All right, Varee, if you're ready, we'll go ahead with our game of animal, vegetable, mineral.
Well, I'm ready, dear, but this seems pretty silly to me.
Not at all. Now, here's the subject. It's mineral and vegetable.
Is it a monument or a public building?
Yes.
Is it east or west of the Mississippi?
East.
Is it in a city?
Yes.
New York?
No. Now, that's four questions.
Washington?
Yes.
Now, let's see. It's a monument or public building, and it's in Washington. The Pentagon.
Absolutely correct, and exactly the way we rehearsed it. Don't you think that was a clever way to indicate that we're going to talk about the most famous public building in the world, the Pentagon?
Now, Adolf, that you've committed us to talk about the Pentagon building in Washington, let's start our stroll through its maze of corridors. Maybe I should get on a pair of roller skates. What do you think?
You should get on a motorcycle. Believe me.
Well, as a matter of fact, I have some statistics here as to its actual size, which we can use as a yardstick. It is three times the size of the Empire State Building and 50% greater than Chicago's vast merchandise mart.
This is in square footage because you make people think that it's taller.
No, in floor space, dear. Oh, no. Oh, I should have said that. I'm sorry. Five U.S. Capitol buildings, wings and all, could be fitted into the Pentagon walls without even touching. In other words, it is built on five sides. I think we might explain that first.
And the odd thing about it is when it was conceived, it was called Somerville's Folly because it was General Brehan Somerville who conceived it. And I can tell you that I have deep respect for General Somerville for having had the gigantic mental capacity to conceive of the largest building on Earth.
What did it cost?
It cost $65 million, and people at that time thought that it was insanity. But actually, it didn't cost any more than a large battleship, and it has saved its cost.
How, dear?
Or the consolidation of all the offices under one roof.
Oh, yes.
It saved an incredible amount of running back and forth and messenger service and so on. And, of course, many, many jokes have been told about it. The word messenger service brings it up, that a Western Union telegraph boy got lost in it, and he came out a lieutenant colonel. Got one office after the
Well,
other.
Believe me, it is possible to get lost when you stop to consider that the actual cleaning, the housekeeping job alone of the Pentagon, takes in some 600 workers, 600 people, in order to keep this place clean so that when the office is shut down at night and all the personnel leave, why, then the cleaners take over. And they've even divided these cleaners into, shall we say, zones. They call one zone cleaners, incidentally, who do nothing but empty the ashtrays and the waste baskets and dust the furniture. Then you have the rug men and the higher cleaners. I like that one. Now, it seems the rug cleaners do what was obvious. They clean the rugs and so forth. But the higher cleaners take care of all the light brackets and light fixtures and so forth. And it's a going city, really. They have all of their own mechanics. They have over 300 mechanics that are there permanently, who are electricians and mechanics and plumbing equipment. Now, they say that the biggest job that is done in the Pentagon is to keep the air conditioning working. Because it stands to reason with anything this size, the sun moving from one side to the other, it is automatically shifting the air conditioning from one side of the building to the other.
Well, some of the trades, for example, interested me. There are carpenters, electricians, painters, plumbers, welders, sheet metal workers, steam fitters, pipe coverers, locksmiths, plasterers, sign writers. Sign writers have a job constantly because people are being fired and hired morning, noon, and night. They're the busiest ones in the place.
Well, they actually have found it less expensive to take on a full staff of these people and keep them right there all the time than it would be just to call them in when they need them. Now, of course, for the ladies, I think it's rather interesting because it is out of downtown Washington and away from things particularly. So they have branch department stores there. They have bakeries and florist shops and jewelry stores and barber shops and bookstands and newsstands and drugstores. And they have a hospital. They have 11 physicians and 8 dentists and nurses on duty. It's quite an amazing place. There's no doubt about that.
Well, you know, to get back to what it saved, it really took the place of 17 scattered buildings.
What do you mean?
Well, prior to that, the War Department had its offices in 17 scattered buildings.
Oh, I see.
Another interesting fact is that four employees of the Pentagon do nothing but watch the clocks. Not that they're clock watchers, dear.
Oh, what do you mean?
Their job is to check on the 3,000 clocks and the other clock machinery.
Oh, my.
And also there is a radio broadcasting station, a public information, and they've got their own television outlet. Mm-hmm. It still lacks a landing field, but a great many people come to their work via the Potomac River by boat.
And what about that wonderful parking lot they have there?
Well, you remember when we made the trip around it, we never got inside the building because I think it was on a Sunday.
That's right.
But we did walk through this incredible maze automobile lanes and the parking lot, which was absolutely huge. Of course, standing on top of the Washington Monument, one gets a magnificent view of it. And, of course, of all surrounding Washington, but the Pentagon stands out. It is, of course, one of the world's greatest structures.
Would I dare ask you a question? Maybe you don't know this, but I'd like to ask it anyway.
Please do, dear.
Actually, you have what? Only the Army and Navy personnel there? Or does it take in all branches of the government?
I think it takes in the military. Only the military.
Oh, only the military.
That's all. Ah. The Army and the Navy. I believe that the Joint Chiefs of Staff have the headquarters there.
Yeah.
And I think the Marine Corps as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just the armed forces. There are no other departments, because the State Department has its own department.
Yes.
And the Departments of the Interior and so on. No, this is only for the military.
Well, it certainly is large, shall we say.
Yes, well, there, as we mentioned, the job of housekeeping in the Pentagon is a major undertaking. What would the average housewife think if she had to, well, for instance, go out and buy rugs for the Pentagon?
Buy rugs for the Pentagon? Suppose you had to take care of them. You know, that's even a major problem in the average size home, selecting the proper floor coverings and then seeing to it that the rugs and the carpets are properly cared for.
My, my. Little does a mere man know of the intricacies of housekeeping. If the selection and care of rugs is such a problem, dear, I think we should talk about it. But first, suppose we listen for a moment to someone else. Now, here, Varee, is a great opportunity for me to sit back and listen while you give us a few ideas on how one may select and care for rugs. You won't mind if I ask a question once in a while, will you?
I don't mind your asking. I don't know whether I can answer it or not.
Well, I'll ask. You don't worry about that.
Well, go ahead. What do you want to know?
Well, I want to know of the hundreds of miles of square feet of floors in American new homes. What is some advice you would give about the selection of floor covering?
Oh.
As regards rugs or carpets.
Well, that's the first question you've asked that I can't answer, because, after all, that's simply a matter of taste. It's up to the individual. There are some people who like to have the floor covering from floorboard to floorboard, you know, right across, which is the kind that is down permanently. Or they like to have rugs, which can be taken up and sent out to be cleaned or washed, whatever they happen to be. There are many people who like the scatter rugs. That's on a highly polished floor, you know, the smaller rugs.
Well, what about carpeting, let's say, 24 inches from the wall?
That's one way of doing it. That's also an individual thing. I think that the selection, though, of carpets or rugs, whatever you happen to like in a home, I think that that should be given very careful consideration as to the amount of, let's just say, traffic that's going to be in the room. If you have a room where you're going to use it almost as a passageway, let us say, where the whole family is going to have to go through all the time...
Yeah.
Then I think a person would do well to really buy the best quality you can possibly afford, even if you have to go a little bit less in budget on something else, like a table or something of the sort, because carpets really do take an awful beating. That's a pun, but I didn't mean it.
No, you didn't mean it that way.
No, I take that back. Now, in order to save...
Pun.
Well, forget it.
Right.
In order to save rugs, I do feel that it is important to use the mats underneath. You know,
yes.
There are any number of kinds of them. But anyway, the experts do claim that by placing a mat under a rug, that the wear could be increased anywhere from 73 to 146%.
Well, I can understand that, because when a foot or a heel strikes a piece of carpet,
yes.
If it has a thick enough matting underneath, the strain is taken off of the carpet.
That's true. Now, that's very important. Now, if you happen to like the plain colors, so that's one thing, or you might like the block, type of block pattern Axminster, which is very good, and it's a rough textured, plain woven broad looms. There are any number of types. You can get these wonderful sort of shag carpets now. But there is one thing that I think is important, too, that so many people, when they buy a new carpeting, whether it's chenille or any of the other ones that we just mentioned, they'll have a sort of thing happen to it, which is called fluffing. There's nothing very alarming about this. It's just parts of the loose fibers in the rug that'll sort of come through to the top, you see, and it sort of fluffs off or shoots out. Well, now, if it's very noticeable, you can just simply clip it. Don't pull it out, because you're pulling out part of your rug. Just clip it right off level with the rest of it, the surface of the carpet, and after a while that sort of stops when you've vacuumed it a few times.
Well, now, you're talking about generally about carpeting. Well, I am absolutely mad about Oriental rugs, and I always have been. And I know you're not, and I am. So, in my room, that's all you'll find, Oriental rugs.
Well, I don't dislike like them, but I think that it's much easier in decorating, let us say, to use a plain colored carpet or rug in a room.
Well, I have plain colored walls and colored carpets.
Well, you have what you like
that's
here, and that's
exactly
right. Now, I have one thing that I heard about the other day that I think is most interesting and certainly very practical and useful. If you do want these scattered rugs, and they're most attractive on a highly polished floor, but there's always the danger of slipping and falling. And someone told me of a wonderful thing to do. You know the little rubber caps that you get on the mason jars?
Yes.
Well, if you take those little seals, those little rubber circular things, and you either use a cement or you can stitch them down, I presume, in the four corners, one each in four corners of a scattered rug, that it will not slide and slip.
Well, what would the comedy writers do, dear, if you put those on the rugs? Then you would miss all these things of a man stepping into a room and sliding 10 feet and then falling on his neck. And practically breaking his back.
Well, I wasn't thinking in terms
of
that.
Everybody laugh. Why, I don't know.
Now, why is that? That's not off rugs, but why do people laugh when someone falls?
Dear, I don't know. I think it's laughing at dignity, being discomforted.
Hysterical, yes, I suppose
but
so.
But Oriental rugs, one must be very, very careful in buying Oriental rugs because one must know what he's buying. There are people only too eager to sell you rugs which are not Oriental.
Well, what could they
fake
be?
Fake you on them.
Oh,
well, they could be very old rugs which are not worth a hoot. I was fooled that way once, so I learned the hard way. But there are... I love beautiful rugs. I love the silk Tabriz rugs. Of course, Oriental rugs are made in Persia, Iran, present Iran. They're made in Bulgaria, and they're made in Turkey. Mm-hmm. And the designs are perfectly beautiful, and they are made by hand labor, some of them taking years and years to make.
Well, we'll have to wait and talk one day about Oriental rugs, because I'm sorry, dear, that once again the busy little clock tells us that we have just enough time left to say our goodbyes.
Oh, well.
This is Marie Teasdale Manjou speaking from Beverly Hills.
And this is Adolphe Manjou, thanking you for inviting us to visit with you and hoping we may have the pleasure soon again.